Worship team this morning. They were cooking it hot. Man. Welcome, y'all. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord, man. It's good to come together and hang out and worship God. And so we just want to welcome you here today. And so I'll just tell you, I was gone last week. And how about old Brock Fleming? Didn't he do a great job last week? Come over here. And yeah, he brought the heat. So Jennifer and I were actually in Albany last week, and Riley was gone on a hunting trip with his son. Riley's our pastor in Stanford, and so it's just cool the camaraderie we got at Bethel. And so Bronk is the associate pastor at Sweetwater, and he came and preached here, and then I went and preached in Albany, and Luke went and preached for Riley so Riley could be gone. And I'm thankful, and I hope you know how cool it is that we have that kind of camaraderie in these different campuses, and God's moving in different areas. And so something else I just think is really cool. So friend of ours that lives up north, he didn't get to come to church last Sunday, and he messaged me after church. And he goes, I didn't get to come to church, but he goes, you know what? I watched Sweetwater online, I watched Stanford online, I watched Anson online, and I watched Albany online. And you know what he said? This is what's cool. He goes, four different pastors that all came out of Anson, all kind of the same DNA. And he goes, you know what? I got a different message from Carter than I got from Brock, than I got from Luke, and than I got from you. And how many of you know that's what the Word of God really does? It just speaks to us in every area of our life. Anyway, that's just a little extra. And so this week, we're going to continue our study in the book of Revelation. I'll just encourage you, if you don't have a Bible reading plan and you don't read the Bible, this is a good time for you to go get in the book of Revelation and read it throughout this next week and pray and ask God to speak to you. Today, we're going to look at the letter from Jesus to the church in Smyrna. To the church in Smyrna. And so today, I'll be really honest with y'all up front. This is a little different kind of letter. He writes seven letters to seven different churches. And all of the churches but this one, he tells them, here's what you've been doing good. And then he kind of rebukes them on the other end, says, but here's where you need to grow, and here's where you're not getting it right. And so the church of Smyrna, he doesn't rebuke them. We're going to see that today. The church of Smyrna, they're going through some tribulation. They're going through some poverty. They're going through some suffering. And so today, a little different kind of feel about this message. Jesus is talking to the church about what it's like to go through tribulation, what it's like to go through some suffering, what it's like to go through some poverty. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think the church has done really, really good at teaching people how to live a life that glorifies God in the middle of tribulation. I don't think we've done real good at teaching our people it's scriptural that we're going to have to suffer sometimes. And so it's really exciting. It's a little different, but I think it's good. And I think if you will ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, if you'll give God your attention for the next 25 minutes, I really think God will speak to you and speak to me. And so we're going to read the scripture, and then I'll pray, and then we'll unpack it and see what the Lord would say to us. Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna, write this, the first and the last, who was dead and who has come to life, says this. Jesus is saying, okay, this is me. This is my message to the church. I know your tribulation and I know your poverty, but you are really rich. And the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Father, we have spiritual ears, and I pray that our spiritual ears would be open today, that we would give our attention and we would give our focus to you, to what you would like to say to us today, and what you would speak to our hearts today. Let the Spirit of truth come and move in this place in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, I love the fact that when we start out here, Jesus introduces himself to the church of Smyrna. He goes, it's me. It's the one that was dead but is now alive. He introduces himself to the church. And I know some people are going to say this is hardcore, and I know some people are going to say this is old-fashioned, and they're going to say that's that old hellfire and brimstone stuff. But you know what I still believe? I still believe there are some churches in the year 2022 that need to be reintroduced to Jesus Christ. Because you know what? That's what everything that we do is all about. That's why we meet. That's why we worship. That's why we do what we do. That's why we have staff. That's why we launch churches. I am all about progressing. I'm all about moving beyond the maroon carpet and the pews and the Broadman hymnals. I'm all about progressing and getting some different worship. I'm all about some self-help and telling you that you're more than a conqueror. I'm all about those things. But at the end of the day, it ain't about coffee, and it ain't about worship, and it ain't about pews or chairs or what style. Everything we do is all about Jesus Christ, and we got to remember that, and we got to focus on that. And it's about Jesus, y'all. It's about Jesus coming to save dead people and bring them to life again. Can I just tell you, Jesus didn't come to save lost people. Jesus came to save dead people. Because you and I were totally dead in our sin, and because of the blood of Christ, we now are alive once again in relationship with our Heavenly Father. This is all about Jesus. Jesus said, it's me, y'all. I'm giving you this message. Jesus says these words to the church. I know your tribulation. And I just want to start out by saying this today. There's people in this room, this many people come in this room, people that are facing tribulation right now. And I mean, there's some of us that got a little bit of tribulation, but there's some of you folk coming here today, you're facing real struggles and real tribulation, and it's wearing you out, and it's affecting your family, and it's affecting your mental health, it's affecting your decision making. There's some people in here today that are facing some real tribulation, and you know what Jesus says? I know. I just think there's power in those two words right there. Jesus said, I know your tribulation. Can I just tell you something today? I'm going to mess up the camera today, but I got to do this. I know. Some of you have come in here and you're facing tribulation and you feel like nobody loves you and you feel like God has left you and you feel like no, and God is not, he's forsaken you. I just want you to know, if you don't take nothing else away from this place today, God knows where you are. His eye is on the sparrow. The Bible says that God's eyes go to and fro and they see everything. You are not alone. He is a good, good father. Watch this. I'm going to the back. I want to see how you work that deal out. He's a good friend. He's a good savior. He's all that we need. And I know that it's tough. And I know that you're struggling. And I know you feel like you don't deserve it. But I want everything that you're going through. And he's not going to put any more on you than you can handle. Here's what we got to do. We got to say, you know what? I'm facing some tribulation, but God knows where I'm at. And when I'm facing some tribulation and I don't really know, and God knows where I'm at, that is a recipe for the miraculous to come, because God doesn't want to leave me down in the middle of tribulation to be depressed and be beaten up all of my life. If we're suffering tribulation, rejoice, because God knows and he's about to show up. And when he shows up, the miraculous can take place in our life. He says, I know. Let me give you an example. Let me give you an example of I know. Yesterday, she teaches fiddle lessons to these kids. Yesterday, her kids went to Coleman. They did a performance. Had fun, went down there, ate pizza at the pizzeria, Rancho Loma, all, you know, black curry. Let me give a little shout out for them. If you ever down there, go eat. But she goes down there, and I'm sure she ate cotton candy and caramel corn. You know how kids are. Drank a 12-pack of Dr. Peppers and everything. And so they get home last night, and Clara's stomach's hurting. She's tough. I mean, she really is. She's tougher than my boys, if you know the truth. But so she gets home, and Jennifer runs some bath water, says, take a warm bath. Maybe your stomach will quit hurting. And so I go in there to check on her, and she's sitting in the bathtub crying. She's hurting, you know. And so I just sat down there by her at the bathtub and put my hand on her, and I go, I know, baby. I know your stomach hurts, but you know what? I'm right here. And I'm talking about just like this. She quit crying immediately, just knowing that her father was there, knowing that her mother was there, knowing that I know you're there. So we got out of the bathtub. We went and sat in the living room, and she's in the chair next to me. And I look over in a minute, she's crying again. I just reach over and put my hand on her. I said, I know, baby. I know you're scared. I know you're afraid you're going to throw up. And immediately, she just quit crying. And I'm just saying, there's something about knowing that your parent is there. There's something about knowing that your father and your mother know what you're going through. And I just want you to know today, God knows your tribulation. He knows your tribulation. He's everywhere. Jesus says, I know your tribulation. And he says, I also know your poverty. I know your poverty. Poverty means to have a lack of money or lack of material possessions. Jesus says, I know you may not have a whole lot of money, and I know you may not have a whole lot of stuff, but then in parentheses, he says, but you're rich. Come on, somebody. How many know we are rich beyond money? Can I get a witness? Don't get me wrong, I like money. Don't get me wrong, I want some more money. Don't get me wrong, we all need some material things, but at the end of the day, if I got no money, at the end of the day, if I got no pot to, if I got nothing at the end of the day, I got Jesus Christ, baby, and that makes me rich. That makes me wealthy. That makes me well-to-do. It is all that I need. Poverty sometimes gets us in here. Can I say this to you today? Sometimes we perspective, how you see it, how you view it, the lens that you and I look through to see our world. We can look and we can go, oh, we can put our worldly glasses on. We can put our United States of America glasses on, land of the free, home of the brave, and we can go, man, things don't look very good in my life right now. Poverty's hit my home. Gas is $6 and diesel's $8 and groceries cost $300 and we can whine and anybody know what I'm talking about? We can pull those glasses off. We can pull those USA prosperity glasses off and we can put on the gospel glasses. We can put on our spiritual eyes and we go, you know what? I don't look at the things that are seen because the things that are seen are temporary. I look at the things that are not seen because the things that are not seen are eternal, and my perspective is not on the ways of this world. My perspective is not on Joe Biden or Kamala or Nancy. My perspective is on God and Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, my provider and my Savior. Perspective will change everything in our lives. How do we view? Are we poor? Are we rich today? Just making that declaration will change things. Is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? Some of us, every time we look at the glass, half empty. It's our perspective. Oh, we've lost half of it. Can I tell you, shift it around and go, it ain't half empty. Baby, it's half full, and God's going to fill it up, and my cup runneth over. Perspective. I love this story about back in the day, years ago, before they had tractors and stuff, this farmer had an old mule. And that old mule had a well out there, an old dry well. And that mule was messing around, and that mule fell in that well. And the farmer looked in that well, and he's like, I don't have no tractor. Like, how am I going to get this old mule out of here? Farmer's like, well, he's old. He ain't much good anymore. I tell you what I'll do. I'll get my shovel, and I'll just bury the sucker alive. Just, you know, get rid of the well and get rid of the donkey, everything together. So the farmer gets the shovel, throws a couple of shovels of dirt down that well on top of that donkey, and he hits that donkey on the back. That donkey's like, world, we have to listen to the truth of God. And we have to change our perspective somewhat. We have to change our perspective because you know what? When people slander the church and when people slander and talk bad about you and I, we ought to go, praise God, they're talking about us because they're giving somebody else a chance. And at least if they're talking about us, they're directing it towards who we believe, and that's God the Father. Watch this scripture right here. Jesus' words, Matthew 5:11, search you, insult you, and persecute you falsely and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Talk about me all you want, about being a nut, about being crazy, and about being loud, about being passionate, about serving Jesus Christ. I don't care. I am blessed. We got to change our perspective, y'all, and not listen to the lies of the world and the lies of the people. We got to have that good perspective. Now I want to talk to you, Revelation 10. Jesus said, I know your tribulation. I know your poverty. And I know there's some people talking smack on y'all. And then he goes down in Revelation 2:10, and he says these words, don't fear suffering. Don't fear suffering. Don't fear suffering. That sounds kind of crazy. Can I hear an amen? Don't fear suffering. But remember, you and I have to learn to embrace some suffering. Suffering is part of life. Suffering is part of life. Suffering is part of living a life that stands for your convictions. Suffering is part of a life that stands up on biblical values. Suffering, and suffering also, we will never ever grow without suffering. Have y'all seen my bass playing gristle-headed son up here, Jesse Pate? He's like, got arms as big as my legs. He's got this six pack. He's ripped. He's got muscles, slabs of meat hanging. He goes to the gym every day. Every day he goes to the gym. And some days he comes home and he goes, man, today sucked, Dad. Today hurt. Man, I was suffering. My legs were killing me today. Boy, Dad, my shoulders. He suffers. But because he is willing to suffer, that means he is willing to grow. And his muscles didn't just appear because living a life of ease with no suffering. Suffering helps us to grow. And I'm going to prove it to you through Scripture. Romans 5:3-5. I'm going to read this, and then we're going to back up and talk about something. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering. Perspective change. Not whine and bellyache about my suffering, but rejoice in my suffering. But we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Let me ask you something. What happens to a nation? What happens to a people group that never, ever, ever suffer? What happens to a nation that has everything handed to them on a silver platter? What happens to a generation where we say, don't you work, don't you be uncomfortable, you are entitled, we will give you everything that makes you group that never suffer. Do they learn to endure? Or do we raise, or does that people group raise up a bunch of snowflakes and a bunch of softies that don't know how to endure, that don't know how to work hard, that don't know how to stay the course, that lose their mind and their mental health goes crazy when they have to endure any kind of hardship? If they don't suffer, they don't have any endurance. And if they don't suffer and learn to endure, then they don't have any character. What happens to a nation when they don't suffer, when they don't endure, and when they don't have any character? Dear God, character and integrity is missing in our world today. Can I get a witness? Character, integrity, men and women of your word, men and women that will work hard, men and women that are honest. We're missing out on character, and character produces hope. See, y'all, if we don't learn to embrace suffering, and go, you know what? Look at me. Look. God is in your suffering. Change your perspective. I'm suffering, but God is in this. And I'm going to endure all the way through it all. And as you begin to endure, then you're going to have some character. You're going to start to see God move. And you're going to start to see your suffering dissipate. And you're going to have some character. And you're going to have some integrity. And then you're going to have a little bit of hope when you're going to go, yep, glad I made it through. Yep, God brought me out on the other side. Yes, God's fitting to move in my life. God's Holy Spirit is going to bring us hope through all this stuff. Embrace the suffering. Don't worry about that suffering, because Jesus says you got to be careful, because if your tribulation and your poverty and your suffering, you got to be careful that the enemy doesn't bring you into a life of bondage. The scripture said he would put you in prison. That's metaphorically speaking of getting us bondage, getting us bound up, getting us shackled. In the prison back in that day, you were shackled here, shackled in your feet. You were in bondage. Can I tell you, one of the secret tactics of the enemy in the church is to come in and get us bound up. Bound up to our old religious beliefs, bound up to the pity that we don't deserve what we're going through, bound up to our unforgiveness, bound up to traditions, bound up to self-righteousness, bound up to perfection, bound up to unworthiness. The enemy wants to come in and get us bound up and get us in bondage and put us in prison. Why is it so important to the enemy that he get us bound up to a lie or bound up? Watch this. Mark 3:27. I've always loved this scripture. In fact, no one, everybody shout no one. No one can enter into a strong man's house and carry off his possessions. Let's stop right there. No one can enter into a strong man or strong woman's house. Look at me. Look. Let me tell you something. You are a strong man and you are a strong woman in Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. You got to believe that. You got to accept that. I'm not talking about your strength. I'm not talking about your wisdom. I'm talking about the Spirit of God. I'm talking about greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. I'm talking about that you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I'm talking about you can do all things through Jesus who gives you strength. We have to identify as sons and daughters of God, and we are strong in Christ Jesus. And if we're living strong in Christ Jesus, no one can come into my home and steal my goods. No one can come into my marriage and steal my marriage. No one can come into my home and steal my children. No one. Unless he first ties up the strong man, then he can rob his house. Many, many great, good people that I know, the enemy has slipped in a very subtle way and got you bound up to something. Bound up to your anger, bound up to your temper, bound up to all those things that I listed a while ago. I don't need to tell you what it is. You need to ask the Holy Spirit. Actually, you don't need to ask nobody, because you know what you're bound up to. And while you're bound up and you're standing on your bondage and claiming your bondage is okay and it's okay for you to live this way, the devil is stealing from you the whole time. Stealing joy. Stealing, oh, I could preach to y'all today. Don't let the enemy come in through all these things, tribulation, poverty, slander of other people. Don't let your suffering get you bound up. Smile through it all, because Jesus said, you know what? It's only going to last for a short time. He tells them in the passage we read today, it's only going to last for about 10 days. Can I tell you something? Your suffering and your tribulation, it will end. Come on, somebody. I said it will end. You got to outlast it. You got to endure it. You got to not give up. It will end. It will be over. And Jesus encourages them, us, to be faithful unto the end, to be faithful unto death. And God says, if you are faithful unto the end and you outlive the suffering, I'll give you a crown of life one day. And I'm telling you, y'all, here's this spiritual perspective again. When I get to heaven, I'm going to get a crown of life. Not a crown that fades away. Not a crown that goes out of style. I'm going to get a crown of life from God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We're here, but I'm looking there. The greatest scripture in all of the Bible about the principle of seeing beyond right now, seeing beyond our suffering and choosing to live with a spiritual perspective, is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's the great apostle Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Great man of God. Lived most of his ministerial life in a prison, eating bread and water, shackled up, chained up. Lived his life suffering, lived his life in tribulation. He is about to die. He will ultimately be martyred, have his head cut off for preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. I want you to see his perspective right here. 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, you know what? I fought a good fight. He said, I ain't been perfect. I could have done that different. I could have done that, but he said, I fought every day. I fought to glorify God. I fought to not stay in bondage. I fought to be my best. He said, I fought a good fight. And he said, I finished my race. He goes, I know the race is over. He said, I've kept the faith. God, what a statement, y'all. At the end of my life, I hope they say he kept the faith. He fought a good fight. Maybe he wasn't the best preacher. Maybe he wasn't the best dad. Maybe he wasn't the best husband. But by God, he fought to the bitter end. He kept the faith. And Paul said this, I'm about to have my head cut off, but you know what right now? He's writing paper, y'all. He's writing these words to young Timothy. He's not having a pity party. He's writing these words to young Timothy outside of the prison, hoping that Timothy will get this letter someday and hoping that his final words will encourage Timothy to have spiritual eyesight. He goes, you know what? I'm about to die. But he goes, henceforth, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. He goes, you know what? Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. Paul said, I am suffering. I am tribulation. I am poverty. The enemy's trying to get me in bondage. He's actually in prison, but he goes, guess what? I ain't paying attention to none of this. I'm seeing that crown. Cut my head off if you want to cut my head off, because I've been living my whole life, and I've been preaching every day, because I know that one day faith is going to give way to sight, and I'm going to be standing in front of the one that gave his life for me. I'm going to be standing in front of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is going to take his nail-scarred hands and place a crown on my head. Paul said, that is the pinnacle of my faith. And he stayed the course. You and I need to change our perspective in life. Conrad, y'all come help me close this thing, please. Paul was able, in the middle of all these things, to continue to live in the freedom of bondage because he had a spiritual perspective. He was able to live in continued hope because he had a spiritual perspective. The verse said this, look at me and I'm done, we're going to bow our heads. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to us today. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak to us today. Lord, I pray that we would open our ears today, that we would continue to give you that focus for 5 to 7 more minutes. We would give you our attention. And for those who are just beat up with tribulation today, I pray they would just know, much like Clara Lynn, that you would reach out and hold their hand and you'd say, I know. I know I'm here. I know. God, help us to switch. Convict us, Holy Spirit, of having a poor perspective. Switch. Lord, help us to switch the way we look at things. And in this moment today, by faith, let's go, you know what? It's half full. Let us switch and go, you know what? The devil tried to cover me up, but I'm just going to step up on the next level, and God's bringing that. Let's change our perspective. Let us know that suffering, speak to us, Lord, those that are suffering. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. Let us keep on keeping on. And let us look beyond the physical. Let us look to the spiritual today and see Christ cheering us on as we run the race of life. Let us see Christ and all the saints of heaven and all the angels cheering us on. Fight the good fight. Finish your race. Don't give up the faith. You got a reward coming in heaven. Help us to be able to understand that the rewards that we'll receive in eternity will far outweigh the suffering that we have down here on earth. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, as we close today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, y'all, stand on your feet and let's close with a song of worship.